Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Yes, what is... Oh, wait, I'm not going on the wide one now. I thought we were going on... Hi, how's it going? Welcome to Howson's Brew. I'm here on my own, as usual. Not even got a brew. What's happening? Oh, look, here's Jay.
Hiya, mate. Sorry, I was doing work-related stuff. I'm not just on my phone messing about.
Are you playing Snake? Do you reckon you could play Snake on a touchscreen phone? Because I reckon it'd be well hard.
I reckon quite a lot of people now are going, what Snake? Don't know you're born, you lot. Seriously. Hey.
Right, let me roll you back. Imagine being locked down and all you've got is a 3310.
I love it. That's kind of like what I was doing in the late 90s anyway. Just sat in my own in my room playing on Snake. Yeah, you'd go mad. You'd lose the plot, wouldn't you?
Imagine if you'd have been locked down without Netflix.
Mate, that... Right... Netflix was lockdown, wasn't it? How does lockdown go with Netflix? What were the? Talk me through lockdown.
Tiger King.
That was the
Tiger
first
King.
One.
Tiger King. Yeah. Netflix.
Tiger King was like early. Yeah. Lockdown.
Tiger King is your early lockdown Netflix.
Netflix. Then what?
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you.
Then you went into Last Dance Netflix.
Last Dance. That's like getting towards the end of lockdown. A little bit, you know, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Now we're in Colombian subtitled films, or I am at least. Anyway.
What am I on now with Netflix?
My beard took caught on my zip.
I've got Sky now. I've moved house. I've gone to Sky. Gone to Eccles. Moved up in the world. I'm getting back into Gomorrah. Have you ever seen that?
No, I've heard of it though. I think my missus watches it. Don't they do magic or something?
No, it's the complete opposite of what you've just said.
Is it?
It's the mafia in Naples.
Oh yeah, back in the day though.
No, it's now, and it's someone described it.
I ain't got a clue basically.
Someone
let me guess something else. Is the giraffes in it? There we go.
You've got it. It's about these giraffe hunters in Naples. No, it's like the mafia, and it is absolutely brutal.
Is it?
It's someone described it as it makes the Godfather look like Gilbert and Sullivan, and that is a very good description. It's ruthless, and it looks like a documentary. It's filmed very handheld. Check it out. You'll love it.
Do I need to love it though?
I don't know, actually. You might be better off not watching it, knowing you. Might give you ideas.
Oh, get your questions in, get your comments in. The title, not one for laughing and joking. One, fuck the sun. Two.
Well said. Naughty this. Very naughty. We had this in the paper talk this morning, and the only reason I mentioned it was to say I thought it was bollocks, because this is before Pogba had reacted.
Well, I saw it last night.
Yeah, you spoke about it in the group, and you were like...
In our little group chat, I said... Keep your eye on that. Is it GFFN?
If they
get
say it.
Get French football news.
Yeah, if they say it, then it's...
I said keep an eye on them because they're legit. Because it was only the Sun that had gone with it at the time. And everybody else that had mentioned it was only quoting the Sun. But obviously, nobody else mentioned it. Funny whole thing. So Pogba's come out. Let's get Pogba's statement on the screen for us so we can see what it says. It says, so the Sun did it again. Weird way to start it. Let me just say that off the bat.
Yeah, sorry, it's a good point. Just for anyone who doesn't know, because this morning we had it in a paper talk, and I just said this is a load of rubbish, but it's being reported, and I'm just putting out there
this
is garbage. That obviously Emmanuel Macron has criticised or come out and spoken about the... I think I'm paraphrasing this, so forgive me if I get it wrong, the monstrosity of Islamic terrorism, because they had the French teacher who was killed by an Islamic terrorist.
Or
I think.
Was that weekend?
Yeah.
Or Friday,
so he's spoken out against terrorism, Islamic terrorism. So the Sun in their infinite wisdom ran with his story that Paul Pogba wasn't going to play for France because Macron had said this. Now, Joe pointed this out before, why, when the president of France would say something means you're not going to play for the football team anyway makes zero sense. Also, to me, it sounded like, Paul Pogba's Muslim.
And French.
Let's make up a story about him. That sounds like a great idea.
Got it.
And, you know, because we love to sort of criticise Islam, that'll be a sort of double winner for us. So I wasn't happy with his story. Said I thought it was rubbish. And now Paul Pogba has come out and he said the following.
Right, I'll read it out for you then. The Sun did it again. Absolutely 100% unfounded news about me going around. Stating things I never said or thought. I'm appalled, angry, shocked and frustrated. It's a lot of emotion.
It is.
Some media sources use me to make total fake headlines in the sensible subject of French current events and adding the French national team to the pot. I am against any and all forms of terror and violence. Unfortunately, some press people don't act responsibly when writing the news, abusing their press freedom, not verifying what they write slash reproduce is true, creating a gossip chain without caring if it affects people's lives and my life. I am taking legal action against the publishers and spreaders of these 100% fake news. In a quick shout out to The Sun, I like that, in the middle of this, Biggie Smalls in it style is a dedication.
This one's for you.
Who normally could not care less. Some of you guys probably went to school and remember how your teacher... Some of you guys probably went to school. It's a bit of a stretch, it is The Sun, but let's roll with what he's saying.
At least 70% of them may have done.
Saw it on telly once.
Yeah.
Always check your sources and don't write things without making sure. But hey, seems you did it again. And a very serious topic this time. Shame on you. Couple things.
Go on.
He's absolutely fucking bang on. Correct.
Couldn't agree more.
Does this not put into the spotlight any time that there's a rumour about him going anywhere and he says fuck all?
No, I think this is different, right? And I think there's certain things that... And I've seen this argument...
Before you do this then, is it... I'm going to just reframe it then.
Go on.
Is it because that football and transfers are a part of football and maybe something that's a bit more accepted and expected, whereas just complete utter bullshit?
You've just said it there. And also, for starters, Paul Pogba and transfer rumours are constant. And if he came out every time there was a transfer rumour, he'd literally spend all his days sat in front of his Instagram posting posts like that about how the latest one he'd been linked wasn't true. This is obviously a lot more serious than is Paul Pogba going to Real Madrid or wherever. This is The Sun making stuff up about him, not wanting to play for his team, in the wake of, if you go through the chain of events, someone being murdered and the president speaking about it, and then Paul Pogba decided, I'm not going to play for France anymore. Now, that's obviously going to get quite an emotive reaction from a lot of French people if they think that's true. That's obviously going to, you know, cause him to get a lot of criticism. It's obviously upset him. He's angered and appalled, which I understand.
I wonder if the Gamma were upset with this for some reason.
You can imagine it, can't you? Oh, Pogba, typical, yeah. So it's disgusting. And I think he's right to speak out about it. And he's gone in both barrels and he should take legal action. And he'll be sued and I hope the paper has to close down.
That'd be best for all of us.
I think that's the only sort of logical...
Well, when they're not fucking rigging elections... Why did he exist, Jay?
Do you know what, though? I think... I'm not saying everyone should do this, but I think if more footballer, anyone, came out and said, you know what? I'm actually not having this and I'm going to take it to court. They might think twice about just sitting in the pub making up drivel. Because that's probably what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we need to stop Paul Pogba gets clicks. Oh, I'll tell you what, he's Muslim as well, isn't he? Oh, yeah. This is what we can do. Just make some shit up. And he's like, no, I'm not having it. So
I wonder the thought process. Or if it was a whiteboard. And he went, ha-ha. Oh, mate, we've just crossed Muslim, footballer, black... patriotism fucking boundaries here. Someone at The Sun ejaculated when they saw that. They was like, oh my god, we've just, if we can squeeze Madeleine McCann and Princess Diana into this, we've got a perfect Sun shitstorm of bullshit.
That is the proper Sun bingo, isn't it? That is like, you've ticked bingo, all, you've done it all. You've
House
got it all. That's it, you're now the editor, well done. Oh no, you're not, we're getting sued.
Sued. Oh, bastard.
Yeah, I think I've got, you know, I understand where you're coming from about, but I've seen it, people saying he should speak out about things, but no, this is different, and I think we should have his back on this one. I'm glad he's speaking out. The Sun's an absolute rag, and hopefully they'll think twice about it, because they do this shit all the time. They do it all the time. They just get away with all sorts of horribleness.
So it says The Sun needs to be bought by a bigger company. I don't think there is a bigger company than News Corp.
I don't even think that's the answer. No,
that's really not
the
answer.
We need bigger tycoons taking it over. That's what's
really
needed.
Isn't the issue.
I think we saw it, didn't we, with the News of the World when they did the $1 million stuff and they sort of scrapped the News of the World and they come back a month later as The Sun on Sunday. you know, we've seen this before.
We're all different.
Yeah, we've learned our lesson.
Move that fucking sign.
Yeah, let's just cross that bit out. There you go. So they've been getting away with heinous actions. Yeah, it's one of them, isn't it? Let's flip it around. For quite a while. But this is crossing a line, I think it really is. Because, you know, I mean, you're opening him up to all sorts of criticism. That's so emotive, that, for not just, you know, obviously Muslims, for people in France, for so many different reasons. And you're saying that he's quitting the national team. Can you imagine if that was in this country, the reaction? Raheem Sterling bought his mum a house after England got knocked out of the World Cup, and people lost their mind. Yeah,
he had a fancy bathroom, so he deserved it.
Yeah, exactly. So can you imagine if someone like, you know, an England player had come out after, you know, I'm not being crass here, but if someone had come out after Boris Johnson's comments about watermelon smiles, and all the black players said, we're not playing for England now, which wouldn't make much sense because Boris Johnson's got sod all to do with the England national team. Yeah. But the outrage...
I think actually be supported.
I would. But can you imagine the outrage from some leaders, for example? And they're just trying to cause trouble where they shouldn't be.
Drop my local petrol station. They used to try and give you a free sun.
Like, no, petrol free. Stations in Droylsden. Well, he's still an awesome car, aren't they?
Shut up, Jeff. What have you just moved through?
Eccles, mate, M30. Place to be.
Right. You throw me here now. Right, so you go in the petrol station and be like, do you want a free newspaper? No, right. That was for a while, a good while. Then they started saying, we'll deduct the cost of the newspaper from your shopping take it. You're like, no, I'd rather pay more to not have to take that out in my hand.
Did this count then towards them saying they were the most popular newspaper in the country?
Of course it did. Because they don't talk about who buys the paper, they talk about circulation.
So they're literally giving it away. And then saying, well, we're the most read.
Look at our circulation.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Mental.
Do you know what I mean?
Mental.
And like, I've seen them videos, and I know we don't always agree with the Scousers, to say the least, but I've seen the videos of Scousers like going in airports and just like picking up Powers of the Sun and throwing them in the bin and screaming at him. Like, sort of understand that one.
And that's not just a Hillsborough thing, because what they wrote at Hillsborough was just fucking...
disgusting.
It was unbelievable what they wrote at Hillsborough, and it was almost like it was colluded with the Tory government at the time, and for Tories, by the way. It was more about all of the other things, like there was planned defunding of like Liverpool as a city. They almost wanted the city to go tits up, which, you know, we like a bit of banter with the Scousers, but that as a targeting of a group of people, and the Sun had a big part to play in, not just the Scousers' issue with the Sun is not Hillsborough done dusted, that's it. There's loads of avenues that come off of this, and the treatment of them, and the fact that it's usually a Tory supporting rag as well doesn't fucking endear them to anybody, does it?
No, not at all. It's, you know, you look at the history of the Sun on so many different reasons. Hillsborough's one of them. Their attitude towards gay people was just another one where, you know, get this filth off our telly when you had two gay lads kissing on EastEnders. I remember that was a Sun headline. They've just, you know, the everything with Suarez, where they dug out an old video of him dropping an M-bomb in his hotel room, because that's relevant to what happened between him and Luis Suarez 10 years later when he was at Monaco. They'd actually dug this out and posted that. The treatment of Anthony Martial when he was going through issues with his missus, got absolutely nothing to do with anything. He was a young footballer over here, hammering him. There's just so many reasons why, as a United fan, let alone as a football fan or a human being, even as a United fan, I think there's just nothing but a contemptible rag.
The fact that they employ Neil Custis.
Well, someone's got him, haven't they? Do you know what I mean?
No, they don't.
Keeps him off the streets.
There's a lot better people on the streets.
It's true. Forgot about him. Is he still complaining about hotels?
I don't know. He blocked me a long time ago. whenever I was going to Juve, we knew Evra was going to Juve. So on my old blog, we put a story out saying exclusive.
Yeah.
Evra's going to Juve. 4 weeks later... he gets an exclusive. Evra's going to Juve. So I said, how long have you been a journalist for? And he was like, whatever, 27 years or something. I was like, you think you know what the fuck exclusive means? And then sent him a link to our thing. He's like, oh, am I supposed to check every shitty little blog on the internet?
So argumentative as well, isn't it? I mean...
Oh, well, if you'd have Googled Evra Juventus, it's the first thing, so four weeks ago.
He's got quite the right home there. Yeah, he is what he is. But, you know, as you said, fuck the Sun and... fuck the Tories.
Fuck the Tories. Speaking of fuck the Tories, Marcus Rashford displays more composure than I've ever seen a 22-year-old ever.
It's unreal, isn't it?
If I was in Marcus Rashford's shoes at 22, And I had MPs telling me that I'd caused hurt and abuse, lol, right, at Tories and caused them to, caused people to abuse Tories and this, that and the other. I'd have had to call them cunts.
Yeah, blatantly. I'd have had no sympathy. I'm trying to feed kids and you're making it about you being the victims by stopping these kids being fed.
And he does it with his chin up and he just puts out these flawless statements.
And he puts them out, doesn't he? You were saying about this.
Right. On my life.
I want you to say this.
On my life, I see people going about Marcus's PR team and that he signed with Roc Nation and shit like that. Roc Nation has got his boot deals out. They're not telling him what to fucking tweet.
No.
And on my fucking kids, Marcus Rashford puts these out himself. Marcus Rashford puts these out himself. I'm not 100% sure that he's doing the little pin ones with and retweeting all them because he's millions of them.
Probably not because there's about 800 a day.
But every statement that you see is Marcus Rashford's hand. He does all of those.
He's a clever lad. Well, it's not that surprised by that. He is. He's a clever lad. He's got loads of integrity. And the way he's coped with this, handled it, you know, it's like you said, flawless. It really is.
It's mind-blowing how he's coped with this.
And it's just embarrassing. All he's done is embarrass the Tories by just letting them.
He runs the nation with tweets.
It's like the Tory. He said, "I want free school meals for the summer," and the Tory said no. And he went, "No."
Someone's just put keep politics out of sports. If you think it's political to feed kids, then go fuck yourself, mate.
Well said. He said, "I want free school meals for the summer," and the Tory said no. And he said, "No, I want free school meals for the summer." You didn't hear me. And the Tories went, "We're having free school meals for the summer." Then he said, "Actually, I want them for Christmas." And the Tories said, no. And he said, "Don't think you heard me." And the nation went, "Okay, Marcus, we're going to give you free school meals for Christmas." And everyone in Britain's basically got behind it. And now the Tories are going, "Well, actually, we actually like what Marcus Rashford's trying to do." Do you? Well, 322, you voted against it last week. So that's a funny way of showing it. The guy's a legend. And I think, if I'm being brutally honest, it's no good having me on these watch-alongs when he's playing because I'm just so biased now. I can't even criticise. It's no longer objective criticism. I can't even bring myself to say anything bad about him when he does something
Bearded
not that
Genius
great.
Did a thread the other day when he was talking about how him and his campaign is irreproachable by the Tories and it's their worst nightmare because they can always dig thread. Somebody yeah. out. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this and I'm probably going to fuck a little bit over, but you get the gist of what Go I'm on. Saying. Go and check it out anyway, Bearded Genius, and just search Rashford Thread. Loads of things. Basically, his campaign is a simple message and politicians want to always complicate things and, well, what about this? He's gone, "I don't want kids to starve."
But
don't want kids to starve.
No, okay.
Don't want kids to starve. Also, like, the piss taking all of this lot is that some of the things there's a great thread that's on Twitter at the moment as well, which is showing every single Tory MP some of the shit that they've claimed for in the last 12 months during a pandemic. Some of them claimed £400 for pizza for a night.
Seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And they're saying no to underprivileged kids getting free school dinners. But his message is simple and you can't convolute it. "I don't want kids to starve." You can't take any word out of that sentence. It's flawless, it's simple, it's perfect. "I don't kiss the staff." He was a recipient of free school meals himself, so it's not virtue signalling.
Yeah.
He came from that, and he didn't want other people to suffer that. Perfect.
This is getting increasingly annoying.
He is independently loaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've even tried digging into the fact that he's a director of his own company. Let me fucking show you some facts about this shit. Footballers create third-party companies for their image rights. They are paid a basic wage that they pay PAYE on, and it's more than any of us will ever pay in PAYE in a fucking lifetime that they're paying tax. So he wants his taxes to go to paying fucking kids. He's not one of these like fucking companies like Google or whatever that have all these fucking offices over here and pay £13 for their taxes here. The image rights are taxed in an entirely different thing. Their basic wages, he will pay PAYE through. So all the people going, "Oh, look, he's a company director. He only paid himself £10,000 for the year off his image rights."
Mate, come on.
They'd like to convolute the argument. He also is independently loved. He doesn't need people to do this.
No, I didn't get anything out.
He plays for the fucking biggest football club in the country.
Yeah, and he's an England regular.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Who often turns up for England as well, like some players. He's got a very good record for England. So it's not like, oh, I know, my career's in the doghouse. I need to come up with a campaign to get me some good PR. No. Do you know what I mean? He's 22. It's not the end of his career. He's like barely getting going.
A lot of people do this through a foundation as well.
Yeah.
There isn't a Marcus Rashford fan. I'm sure there will be one soon. Yeah, but there isn't a Marcus Rashford.
Michael Carrick obviously is an obvious one. Does it which is good. It's not a criticism. I think Wayne Rooney's got a foundation as well. But Marcus Rashford is like literally doing this shit himself.
Yeah, there's no foundation here. There's no like... and you know, that's not a besmirching any of those foundations that's going on. Oh my God, yeah. If you look at if you search Rashford free school meal map, and I love how the icons are love art.
I know.
Mint.
It's mint, that, isn't it?
Cornwall, you need to step your game up.
I love how you zeroed in on the only little gap on the map.
There. Also there, like East Midlands there on this side here. Where's that? Zoom in there, please, Joseph. Boston. Boston and Skegness. I've been to Skegness. Don't leave me alone.
Do you know what the crazy thing is, though, right? I like got a WhatsApp message about, I think it was a bar in Ermston, a cafe, and it was like, they're doing free school meals. These were one of the, I'm not saying they're the first at all, but they're one of the early ones to start doing it themselves. And then he quote tweeted that, Marcus Rashford. That's like a small little bar in Ermston. And he's been doing it for like councils that have doing it, for football clubs, for just restaurants, for people who've said, I'm going to give some meals to the kids on my street. He's not missing anyone out, or his team, if that's the case, if they're on that bit.
I mean, I don't know that.
Sure, the guy's got to sleep.
The amount of times that's been quote tweeted, it's
a lot for him to be doing on his own. But yeah, it's like highlighting everyone. And it's great because this is bringing the country together in a way I've not seen before. I've seen Scousers praising Marcus Rashford. I've seen United fans quote tweeting Leeds United saying, well done. What is going on, Steve?
The Scouse kids as well did all. Like, how many schools are doing, I mean, it's Black History Month as well, so he's getting a lot of spotlight on that. And a lot of people are using him as someone to talk about Black History, which is amazing for a 22-year-old. But there's also like, they're doing projects on him at school. And like, they're writing about him and they're using him. And what a brilliant thing to write about. Rather than writing about someone who's a terrorist or writing about someone who's done something a bit wrong, they're writing about someone who's mega at what he does, loves his fucking mum, and feeds kids.
Imagine being like, how proud his mum must feel.
Shout out to Mel as well, who got the Fair Share Depot has just been named after, hasn't it?
As it, right, nice one. Because as a United fan, we're all proud. Do you know what I mean? Imagine that being your son. Like, wow.
Not only is he banging them in bins for United and England.
He's like changing the country. And even like the Americans got onto it. I think Time magazine have done a bit on him as well. It's just like, I think so, yeah. I think, forgive me if I'm getting it wrong, but I think it's Time. I've done a piece on him.
And I know it's not in his thinking, but can you imagine his next sponsorship deal with anybody?
Imagine the queue. Like, imagine how many companies are going, why the fuck haven't we offered Marcus Rashford a sponsorship deal? What is going on? How much have we got in the bank? Offer it him all.
He gets a boot deal, a new boot that they brought out for Nike, and he's like, I want all the kids' messages on it. And you're like, mate, come on. No. But you better believe, and listen, I said this in Twitter, and I mean this. We put a fatwa on anybody that comes for Marcus Rashford now. 100%. Because that government are slimy and minging, and they will come for him. They will come for him. Not today, not tomorrow. But he looks at someone funny in a club. He accidentally drops a bit of rubbish on the pavement somewhere. There's going to be paparazzi living in it. I mean, and actually, we know that this happened in the summer because I offered to go out there and fuck them up.
Yeah, you did. And yet, when you said that offered, you were like alarmingly serious about this. You were like looking at
serious. I was like, I'll go live in the bush.
No, hard routine.
I'll fuck them up.
We've got things to do.
Marcus opened his curtains in the summer. There's a paparazzi guy standing at his curtain of his villa when he was on holiday with his missus and a couple of his mates. I'll live in the bush, mate.
And you know what?
Just bring me a Red Bull every couple of hours.
Yeah.
And I'll live in the bush and I'll fuck him up. And it's right now, think of that before he ran the country. So now he runs the country and the Tories don't like him.
But did you see it on Friday when that donut Ben Bradley went for him, the MP from Mansfield?
He's not a smart man, him.
He's genuinely one of the thickest people I've ever seen on social media. And he completely embarrassed himself to the point with, it started with a tweet to Marcus Rashford saying, Marcus, you're wrong about this. Tweet me back, email me, drop me an email. And it ended with him more or less apologising for what he'd done and begging Angela Rayner to delete a screenshot of his previous tweets. And then actually ended the next day with him going on the national television, apologising for what he'd done.
Further embarrassing himself.
And then getting called out for the lies he'd made up.
Absolutely rinsed.
And Marcus didn't even reply. He didn't even do anything. He just left it.
Ed.
The guy just imploded by just being an idiot going for the wrong guy. Just shouldn't have gone after Marcus.
They're going to come for him, right?
Of course they are.
And when they come for him, us as a fucking nation, let alone United fans, us as a nation need to say, fuck you, get back in your box. Yeah. That's what we need to say.
100%.
Because they'll look what they've done with Pogba, right? They'll make something up. He's cheating on his girlfriend. Did he? Yeah. Was you there?
Yeah.
Anything like that. He's got a parking ticket. That'll be front page. Marcus Rashford gets a parking ticket.
You saw it with Meghan Markle, right?
Yeah.
Meghan Markle at Avocado and it became a story about she's funding terrorism.
She opened her own door once.
Yeah, exactly. Meghan Markle, they ran a story about stroking her pregnant belly. Drawing attention to it. She's pregnant. She's stroking her belly. Do you know what
Did
I mean?
You see as well that some of the stuff that they praised Kate for doing and then criticised her for doing?
Attention seeking and all this. Yeah, and it was the same thing. It's just that's the sort of level
Kate opens
get.
Her own door, she's not worth. Meghan Markle opens her own door, she doesn't understand royal protocol.
Exactly, mate. The thing is now, right now, the press are a bit, okay, everyone loves him, now's not the time. But you're right, and especially the Tories, you give it a few weeks and it'll be like...
I think it'll be a year or more.
Yeah, do you reckon?
I think he gets about a good year... Probably until the pandemic's over.
Yeah.
And then, first time he's been in a club, they'll probably pay some tart to go and just rub up against him. And what, are we pretending this shit don't happen?
Yeah. So remember my favourite story, not that I ever read it, was the one in The Sun where they had to issue an apology to Tom Cleverley when they ran a story that he'd been to Blackpool and slept with this girl and it turned out the girl had slept with someone else that wasn't Tom Cleverley but had pretended to be Tom Cleverley.
Wait a minute.
This was back in like 2012 when
Which
Tom Cleverley...
Which birds are getting impressed by Tom Cleverley?
I'm actually Tom Cleverley. I played for Manchester United, said this 6'4" black guy. Because she had no clue about football. And she went running to The Sun. And The Sun were like, have you got any photos of him? She's like, yeah, look, I've got to take a picture on my phone. And they're like, actually, we need to issue a retraction and apology. Wow. Yeah. So this isn't the first time they've gone after United players and ended up with egg on the face. Yeah. But I think this one's a little bit more serious than Tom Cleverley was in a hotel room with some girl in Blackpool.
Or not.
Or not, as the case may be. But no, listen, as you said earlier.
I'll be outside their offices, mate.
It's not just about...
Come on.
You know, someone saying there, don't get politics into... But it's not politics. He's feeding kids. And there shouldn't even be an argument about that. And more to the point, the Tories or the government have said, we're not going to give you money for that. So he said, all right then, no worries. Get it myself. And as you just said, show me that map. Everyone in the country, basically, every area, every town... in the country has got behind it. And this is the first time I've actually seen us unite behind anything. When's the last time you saw everyone coming together in a good, if for a good cause?
I had something funny there, but it's gone. Back to me.
I can't think of anything.
When we decided Jamie Oliver was a bellend.
Yeah, that's true.
Did that as a country. Shut up about Dunkirk. Twice in a week he's referenced Dunkirk.
Dunkirk?
Was it even there?
Dunkirk, mate. It was an evacuation. It's overrated. I'm only joking, by the way. Yeah, for anyone who's on those beaches who's offended.
Who's a subscriber. Right. Apparently Pochettino's off to Russia.
Oh, I hope so. Go on, explain this one to me. Where have you got this from?
Well, you sent me the notes.
Well, I know, but for the purposes of this video... Right, let's say
here's what Jay
I've
sent
read
me.
This.
So it says reports in Russia from Championat.
That's the only Russian publication I bother with.
Is it a Russian version of The Sun?
I hope not. It better not be.
Imagine how hardline Russian version of The Sun is.
That must be just like Pravda, but like a paper. That's like you literally, you know, that's just like Putin writes it himself.
I thought that was what the news... Never mind. Right. Zenit is in consultation with Mauricio Pochettino about the possibility of an appointment to the post of head coach. Who's recently been at Zenit? Because they've had a right random... AVB was there. Yeah, AVB was there. I don't know if he's still there. I mean, are they literally just following whoever shit manager Spurs... Joe's been there in 2 years.
Do you reckon? That's not the most ridiculous statement
Zenit
I've ever heard.
Zenit manager's list. At the minute, it's Sergei Samek, obviously.
Of course. We all knew that, Steve. Come on, tell us what we didn't know.
Where's the timeline? Zenit manager history. One second, though.
So, see, this is what you get on this channel.
Yep.
You don't get this anywhere else.
Mancini was there for a year. Lukescu was there. Mm-hmm. Villas-Boas was there. Villas-Boas was there for 2 years. Sergei Semak, the guy that's there now, he was there for 8 days before Villas-Boas. They had Luciano Spalletti. Dick Advocaat has been there.
Well,
they've had some random ones. And then a lot of Russians.
Not a bad little there. Spalletti, was he the Roma manager?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, some talk. I mean, Mancini did a year there. That's a strange one. Some talk Pochettino could go there. They're obviously paying decent dollar to get those guys in. But considering that he's meant to be everyone's favourite cup of tea, that's a bit left field, isn't it? That
me and you. I'm going to warn you now. If you're a Pochettino fan, this probably isn't. Yeah, just turn off. This isn't the bit for you because
come back later.
Yeah, me and Steve are on the same page on this one. I hope he goes there because I'm sick of the rumours. Yeah. For
probably be successful Pochettino there though, and it probably won't dampen him.
Well, you know, then we're going to have these arguments. You know, you won a trophy.
How did he become favourite flavour of the month?
I don't know. Like, if you're going to go, right, the reasons that people don't like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer...
Well, not Pellegrini.
What's he...
He's won a league.
Exactly. You go say people, Ollie, go, he's never won anything.
He has.
And what's Poch won? Well, Ollie doesn't stand up to the owners. When did Poch ever stand up to the Spurs
fucking
owners?
Alex Ferguson didn't stand up to the owners.
These arguments are baseless.
He went, anyway, you're getting no money. And he went, cool.
And then during the run, when they went to the Champions League final, they sold Moussa Dembélé in the summer. Not in the summer, in January. Let him go. Got knocked out of both cups, domestic cups, in the space of a week. Got to the final, didn't turn up.
Right. Two quotes that have come out of his face that make me ornery. One of them was, winning trophies is only for the ego. One, how the fuck would you know?
Yeah.
Two, I'm going to quit.
That's just ruined 1999 for me.
I'm going to quit if we win the Champions League.
So, why? Imagine if Fergie did that.
Week of the final, I'll throw this out there. I can't rattle my head around. Is this some sort of backwards motivation thing? I just don't get. And he did the FA Cup one before our semi-final with him, I think. And you're like...
It's just, I don't know, like...
It's different to I want to win everything, innit?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, he did well in terms of league positions with Spurs, but nothing... Where you go...
He
finished third in a two-horse race. I get
Let me
one.
Throw this fact
go
at
on,
you.
Then. Go on.
He finished, on average, about a place higher than Spurs were finishing before him. But United had fell out of that.
Yeah.
We've been shit. So have they just moved up the place because we vacated it?
Well, yeah, probably. I think if you put it that way. I mean, listen, his league form was all right, yeah? Tactically, I was never that, like... You know, you look at his semi-finals and his final record. There you go, you know, Mourinho, outwitted him, Klopp. Outweighed him. There was nothing there where I made me think this guy's a tactical genius. My management, yeah, seems to get on with all his players, but then it went massively wrong towards the end of 14th when they left.
Oh, yeah. They sacked him.
Yeah.
Are we ignoring that?
An implosion, like, you know, the same similar implosion that Mourinho had at United.
I'm devo that they never made the documentary. It was so glossed over, wasn't it? Yeah. Now, I don't know if they looked at it as a whole and was like, let's focus on Jose.
Yeah.
But sacking Poch was such a monumental thing in that documentary period. And they just literally was like, anyway, he's like, Poch, anyway, here's Jose.
Do you reckon there was some sort of legal thing now where he's been like,
got to have been.
I'm no longer work here. I don't want to be in this. And I don't want you taking the mick out of me. Or you're going to be here for my lawyers.
Can they do that?
I don't know. This is what I mean. I don't know. Because it wouldn't have made him in a good light. If, like, you know, after two months into the season, Tottenham are now 14th. Mauricio Pochettino is underperforming, has been sacked.
Tom Hardy, good narrator though.
Yeah.
Good narrator.
So, you know, we were watching the Spurs documentary at home. And my missus was in the corner doing a Prince t-shirts and all that. And we're watching the Spurs documentary, Jose Mourinho shouting at his players. And then when it finished, I put on Stretford Paddock FC. And you were shouting at your players.
me and Jose neck and neck, mate.
I thought I was still watching the Spurs thing. She went, who's that on that? Sounds a bit mank.
No, you dick.
It's got all mank. What are you doing? Mate. I mean, it's got to be something like that because it was so weird the way it went. Bruce Pochettino came in and now he's gone. Jose. Yeah, there's something there because it would have made up at least two or three episodes when it covered that season. Gotcha. And it would have been interesting as well, because it's like, what happened? Why is he getting sacked? I don't know.
Totally glossed over. Spent more time talking to Dele Alli about brushing his teeth and stuff.
Though some of those, it was weird as well, because like when you're watching that,
I know you've cut conversations out.
I don't know where we chose it. It's like, I don't know, he just doesn't seem, it's like he's lost his mojo a bit. Like Danny Rose sitting in his office saying, no, I'm going to go home. He's like, yeah, right. Well, no, you're not.
Is that Jose being well aware of cameras?
I don't know. This is what I mean. I don't know.
Fuck you, fight
the
me.
Only, the only thing Alex Ferguson told me was to buy Dele Alli. Really? In the time he was at United, the only thing that Alex Ferguson said to you was go and buy that kid from Spurs.
You fucking feet off me. That's yeah. Would have been one of them.
Yeah, so he's causing trouble. I just don't see it, man. I don't know. Maybe it was just the cameras, but it did seem a little bit weird.
Which season would have been the best one at United? Treble season? I'm not teeing him up for the obvious here. I'm actually genuinely curious.
Stay. If you want a real narrative, a real story, right, one that sort of sums up United's spirit, are rising from the ashes like a phoenix, then you only have to look back to the 1990/91 season, where United, back in Europe, after a hiatus, along with other British clubs, English clubs back, go all the way.
In a pristine, angelic, all-white kit.
All the way to European Cup Winners' Cup final. But they faced the mighty Barcelona. Johan Cruyff's Barcelona. In a trench coat. Chain smoking, mate. It's just not going to happen, is it? We're not going to do it. But wait. We do. We win the European Cup Winners' Cup final.
And who can forget such cameos like Mark Robbins and Clayton Blackmore.
Clayton Blackmore's free kick.
And Mal Donaghy.
Mal Donaghy.
Neil Webb. Titans of the game.
Titans. Hey, Paul Ince at right back. That's all I'm going to say to you. Hey, other managers wouldn't even dream of it.
I wonder if the first Premier League season would have been interesting. Maybe the transition from the old Football League into the Premier League, and if it actually made any difference behind the scenes.
Do you not remember the captain's log? That was as close as you could get to a documentary.
Right. For those of you going, what are you two dickheads on? Steve Bruce had, do you remember the old style video cameras?
Yeah.
That you had to shoulder hold.
You had to do weights before you lifted.
Yeah.
You had to go to the gym for a month.
He kind of vlogged with that. But when I say vlogged, he had a film crew like be in his bedroom and shit. I can't imagine how that went down with his missus. Not a GoPro or a phone in his hand. No. We got a sound man, a guy holding cables, and a fat dickhead with a camera. Probably. Because they're all fat, because the camera's way loads. So, like that. One of them big shoulder bastards. But like they followed him into, I mean, that was pretty good. Do you remember
it was the first season won the Premier League, wasn't it? It was because I remember.
Well, they showed him hungover in bed the day after reading the paper.
They showed the party, didn't they, after the Villa after Villa got beat off Oldham.
That was cool.
Yeah.
So United basically had a party on. Was we playing on Sunday?
No, Villa played Oldham on the
Saturday.
I thought they was a Sunday and we were the Monday night.
I don't know.
Or am I getting that? I'm sure we were the evening.
It was a weekend, yeah, but why wasn't it all on the same day?
It wasn't. I think they'd arranged it like it was going to be, but Oldham obviously weren't expected to beat Villa. It was just weird. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that was a Sunday.
I think it was Saturday because it was on like Grandstand or something like that I saw it.
Have a Google Doodle. I'm not sure. I thought it was Monday night that we played Blackburn, which was obviously the like we'd won the league. But what amazed me about that documentary, that captain's log, is Fergie was like, yeah, he'd come in the dressing room.
Bastard with a camera.
Yeah, come in the treatment room.
Not like a, nothing discreet.
No, this is like a suitcase, isn't it? Like a suitcase and a crew. Yeah. Giving his team talk.
But yeah, like it starts off, it shows you them watching the telly. It's an old cathode ray TV. And they've got shit jumpers on. Robbo's got some horrendous jumpers on. They show you that. Then it shows you having a few pints. Then someone obviously told the camera to get to fuck while a party actually happened. Because it was like a tea party at like Bruce's house.
Yeah, it was someone's house. Yeah, Bruce's house.
Anyway, get
out.
And then it shows you the next day. Bruce is reading a paper in bed.
Yeah.
Like shirtless, cameraman and crew in there while he reads a paper. And then they get in his car with him. And he
picks
pulls up
Schmeichel and Ince, do you remember?
They pull up on the forecourt just outside the corner of East End where the old Megastore used to be.
Yeah.
And then they get out the car and walk off.
Everyone's there, isn't it? Yeah, I was there. I was on that forecourt. Not that you see me on the video.
I was in a Stretford End for that game.
For the Blackburn game?
Yep.
Giggs' free kick.
No roof.
Oh, mate.
Back.
Quality.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, so you're like, would Fergie have allowed documentaries? Well, he fucking did.
Yeah, I think he was that buzzing that we won the league. Because by the time they got in the, I think you don't see him in the dressing room until the end of the season. I think before that, it was all like at the bit of the training ground.
Mate,
at
MUTV and see if he can dig that out for us. Good, that's in the archives.
It's got to be. You probably get it. In fact, you could probably buy it on VHS or something.
Yeah, but who's got a VHS player nowadays, Jay?
I don't know. One of my elderly relatives has probably still got one knocking about. We'll find it. But it was mint because that was your first behind the scenes look.
Oh, was it? It was amazing. I mean? Remember it. It was fantastic.
For that as well.
And it was weird that they actually called it Captain's Log with Brucey as well.
I don't like that.
He wasn't the captain. That's why him and...
Can't call out a captain's log when Robbo's in the room.
Yeah, and him and Robbo holding the trophy up together.
That was mad.
Because Robbo's the captain, really. But yeah. He ain't played, but...
you're not going up them stairs on your own, son. Forget that.
Someone just said it's on YouTube. Oh, that's my night sorted.
Mate, get it watched. It's absolutely brilliant. It is. Because it's just like, it's so funny as well. And there's certain things in that now they'd proper edit out. They'd be like, no, we can't do that. Bit of xenophobia, that sort of thing.
Undoubtedly. There might have been a bit of cock and bollocks as well, because there's like shower scenes and stuff in there. They're in the bath with a can of Carlin.
If you are watching this on YouTube tonight, you know, lock the doors. Put some candles on.
Joe's got it on that screen over there. I'm waiting 6K, to see
I was
me
only done 6K.
As a kid. I know you found one from that game, actually, in it. A view in case.
I found one in the Stretford, in the scoreboard paddock from the 1994 game, the last game of the old season at Old Trafford, Robbo's last game, where we drew 0-0 with Coventry. Because I was right at the front. And the only reason I found it on, like, PA or somewhere, because I was in the back of one of the papers the next day, like, because it's just the front of the scoreboard paddock, and I never got I lost the paper, and I found it the other week. But yeah, with all like balloons and stuff, because you know,
I always look.
So
at, like,
you used to take balloons to the game.
The 70s ones. See if you can see my dad in like flares. Shit,
some mint. I think is Mank pictures or whatever do it. Yeah.
Scroll through. Have you ever found him? No.
I've always done that with my dad because he used to go home and away and I was like looking for stuff, but...
Yeah, can't find him.
Oh, wait, hey, up.
Oh, yeah, United have provided 5,000 school meals during October half term. Is that just like schools in Stretford or something? That's from the foundation. Does it say where? Oh, just across Greater Manchester. Happy days? Doesn't solve the issue locally.
This is massively backfired on it for the government.
Yeah.
Not backing him. Because now everyone's just... doing it anyway, and they just look heartless and stupid.
Well, Tories. So.
I know.
it's on brand. Like, heartless and stupid. That's why you're voting.
Like, the best thing now is just come out and back it quickly. Just say, right, we're backing it. Do you know what I mean? Because everyone's getting free school meals thanks to the generosity of the nation and the efforts of Marcus Rashford. It's not a good look. Not at all.
How many times a day do you reckon he gets brought up at the cabinet meetings? Three?
Do you remember that dartboard with David Beckham on? I think that was the sun, wasn't it, on the mirror. Yeah. I reckon they've got one of Marcus Rashford in the cabinet office. Because publicly they're praising him. Secretly they must
fucking
despise
him.
Well, wasn't it last week that like, someone said they had leaked that they had an email go out about
Amazing.
Him. A brief. Yeah. What to save Marcus tweets. Jesus, what?
Absolutely flapped it. Shit bags. Shit it. Get your questions in. We'll answer some questions from you guys. Jacob saying balloons at football games. People have took their own house for balloons these days.
I didn't take them, by the way.
what was you like that? 12, 13?
I think it was 14, actually. 94, yeah. Like, May 94.
The
balloons there. I'm going to pick them up, man. Do you know what I mean?
Do you ever have your face painted?
No, I've never. If kids want to get a face painted, I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm not going to judge.
I never had it done, but it was loads back then. They used to do the green and gold one,
yeah,
and a red and white one. Used to be fucking loads of them.
Yeah, I remember that, and like be smart. But I remember when I started selling United We Stand, and I used to wear my kit, not my kit, going full kit one. I used to wear my top to the game.
Shinnies on.
Yeah, shinnies, John Terry style.
Monday Owls. Yeah, obviously it was the 90s.
New Balance. It's what Robbo wore.
Pink.
Yeah. But I used to wear my United top, and I remember like the sellers were a little bit older than me. I remember like one of them commenting like, "I can't believe you look like a right nobby." Not to me, but saying to his mate like, "You look like a nobby wear United top to the
United games." I remember there was another.
That was it then. I don't think I've done it since.
This guy was like, "We don't wear white trainers." What do you mean we don't wear white trainers?
It's like,
we're on about.
That one comment, and it just, that's it then.
Yeah. Forever.
Yeah.
Don't wear a white.
Like 26 years ago, and I've still not done
jeans
it.
And blue jumpers, you dickhead. What are you doing? You're not wearing white trainers.
Right, that's it. That's my life's changed forever.
Just, I can, but even though I went, why? And he didn't answer me. He's like a 50 year old bloke. I was about 19 of them at the time. How'd he gone?
Wait, it's mad.
Who would it have been? He was like fucking Barnsley away or something. Like, Joe, like proper naff away game. Yeah, I was like 16.
Yeah.
Why?
You just don't. Alright, I'll stop doing that then forever.
So, should I take them off now?
Yeah. Can I go home in these?
What if I wear football boots?
Yeah. Is that allowed?
Is that bad?
It's good to see United fans have always been odd. It's not just a social media thing. We've always had this.
What I've enjoyed and partook in. Is it's obvious when there's a group of United fans. Why do we all wear black coats?
There's this myth now, isn't it? Things like people change the narrative to make it sound like, you know, everyone wears black, right? So when you're scrapping, if you get nicked, they can't identify you. It was just some guy in a black top. Is that really true?
But there is a thing about people who haven't ever been hooligans.
Yeah.
We all wear black.
Like,
all right, if I said to you, Jay, there's an orange coat to go to the game in, you'd throw up in your mouth, wouldn't you?
I can't do that, mate.
Yeah, it's going to be like, I give you navy blue, how's that? Why is that a thing? But if you look at, I can look at a group of people, right? And I can go, United fans.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? You can spot City fans as well, can't you?
Yeah, because they usually look like they've covered themselves in glue and rolled around a fucking megastore.
Yeah, exactly. Like remember Tony Pulis on the touchline?
Yeah.
That's a City fan. Yeah, City fans.
City fans.
Exactly.
Usually like a pale complexion.
Pale complexion, what? Yeah.
Even black inflatable guys, banana. Even black guys that are City fans, pale complexion.
You know, inflatables and all that
like
shit.
A lack of vitamin D. Yeah. I don't know what it's about.
Banging on about, you know, how they've always supported City and they were there in 99 at Gillingham.
I love this phenomena, I'm going to call it.
Very well done.
Every City fan on Twitter has got glory hunting since in their bio. You go look, get back to me.
They're like, trying to
well insecure.
Yeah, we don't care.
Well insecure.
We don't care. I've always loved City. You used to have pictures of David Brightwell on my wall. No, you didn't. Yeah, Do you know what I mean? You don't even know who he is.
No, you didn't.
Right, come on.
City fans were there in 2008. But not in big numbers, though. Go look at when they played. If you want to laugh, Google Images, Manchester City, Midtjylland. You'll struggle spelling Midtjylland, but you'll get there, yeah? Click on Images and just look. Joe's going to do it behind the camera now, and I'm going to see what comes up. Put it on this telly for us so we can see it here. It's fucking hilarious, Jay.
This is the Etihad, is it?
Yeah.
Obviously, they wouldn't have had European football at Main Road.
Just look how many fans are there.
Right. I take it, I've already had a little glance. I take it this is during the pandemic.
No.
It has to be. This doesn't make any sense.
There's a couple of... that's not it. Right. Yeah.
That's Hull.
No, don't put Etihad. It would have been called the City of Manchester Stadium at the time. It was about 2006 or 7. Just there you go. Look at that. That's amazing, isn't it?
How is that possible?
There's a better shot. Keep scrolling. I'll see if we can find it. Keep scrolling for me. There's a shot of a... There we go. Cameraman. Bottom left.
Surely the ground's shut. Surely this is some sort of UEFA punishment.
How fucking cool is that?
That's amazing. Like, come on.
They had the cheek to have a go at us because we had...
Because we only had 67,000 for a, you know, League Cup fourth round game against Colchester or whatever it was.
Mint that, innit?
That is, I've never seen anything like that, even by City standards. That's ridiculous.
Midtjylland was sponsored by Spa. Never seen that before.
Can't remember. Actually, you know what?
Oh, he's put it on screen for us. There you go. Go on. Have a look at that. Boop.
See.
So when they say, I was there before 2008, was you at the Midtjylland game? And then just interrupt them and say, you fucking wasn't.
No, you weren't. No one was there. Do you know what I used to love as well? Whilst it still goes on, is how like Stu Brennan and people like the MEN will always make excuses for the low crowds at City.
Mate, they have some traffic there, you know, from traffic, Knutsford.
Yeah. Remember that pot, that sinkhole on the Mancunian Way? They got the money's worth out of that, didn't it? Yeah, exactly.
For 6 months.
Even after they'd filled it in.
5 months after it was finished, yeah. I just need to send this. Where's it going? Five. Madness.
Good old Manchester City, eh?
It's funny that they try and deny it, that they became everything they hate with us by being such a...
Of course they did. You know, City fans hated the global aspects of United fan base. They hated out-of-towners and all that. Not even global, just, you know, Cockney supporting.
I got told United. To fuck off back to London by a guy getting on a coach to Gloucester.
That makes sense. That's only right, isn't it?
I can't even get mad at that. No. You just have to laugh at him and go...
You know, that's one of my favourite parts of Manchester, that Gloucester.
Yeah. It's on the south side.
It's just below. I think is it below Gorton?
Yeah, it's below Gorton and Hereford, I think.
Right, yeah, that's it. Just on the border there. Like, do you remember when the MEN like did a story? When I say the MEN, I think it was Mike Keegan did a story about United were putting on coach a train to take fans back to London. What, a train is running? That was the story.
Then City. Booked a train.
Yeah, then City did the exact same thing. It's just no wonder, you know, we don't bother with the MEN anymore. Which is a shame because it used to be all right.
Formerly great local newspaper, now disreputable online blog, Jay.
That's what I tried to say this morning on Paper Talk, but I think
fucking
I said a steal, it says formerly great newspaper, now clickbait blog.
Patrick Vieira. George Weah. I mean, even King Clads was shit. Let's have it right.
Right. Thank you. Let's face facts, right? He had about 3 good games out of about 50. Now, those were very good games.
Those were in Division 1, Jay.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he got into the Premier League, he was nits.
He scored some very good goals, but like, if you look at his record, it was like 3 goals, 3 assists in 60 games or something like that. People are going to pull up stats and slightly, but it wasn't great. He was
It was pretty hard.
He scored like a couple of worldies, like Tony Yeboah at Leeds.
No, he wasn't. Nowhere near that good.
Well, no, he wasn't that good, but he didn't score loads and loads of goals. It's just he scored some very memorable ones.
Joe's doing some right Jamie Vernon, Joe Rogan-esque style Googling.
This is
in
what
the background.
You know what I mean. This is why Joe's
the best.
What have you got for us, Joe?
Put it on the screen, Joseph.
Georgie. Do you know what the best thing is, right?
Go on.
20 goals in 106. That's league only.
That's
20
goals,
see what
so that's
got.
1 in 5. And if you score, yeah, because a lot of them...
Keep it going.
Will have been...
So his season in the Premier League, he got 4 in 37.
So wasn't that wrong? 4 in 37?
But he did get 14 in 21 in the Umaglesi Liga.
Well, hang on a minute. So he had one season in the Premier League and he got relegated?
Yes, Jay.
Wow. Imagine that being like your legend.
But he went to Ajax, Jay, where he scored.
Do you know what the best thing is, right?
Not once.
When I used to go reporting, like before the derby, he used to send me when he was at the Etihad, go to the Etihad. And I did it at Wembley as well. And it was great because I obviously grew up like you watching football in the 90s. And at the time, in the like mid-noughties and stuff, players from the 90s used to play for City would be at City early, doing hospitality and stuff. And I would recognise them. Because obviously I grew up watching it. So I'd interview him before the game, like Richard Edgell and people like that. Do you know what I mean? Like Andy Dibble.
99% of our viewers are just going.
Yeah. Like if you're a certain age, you'll know what I'm on about. If not, don't worry about it. genuinely. And I remember like.
You've probably got more followers than him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not even a joke. You have. And I remember once King Cladsey got out of the car and there was a crowd around him. And I was looking. I was thinking, this crowd's a bit fucking big. No word of a lie, right? I had my Q103 thing. And two of the lads who were there with a fucking poster turned to me and said, who is he, mate?
In the noughties. The only player of note you had.
I was like, it's Dennis Law. Honestly. That was it for them, though. They didn't have a lot of heroes.
If you go in and look around the thingy,
you did this, didn't you?
Might have done.
Causing trouble. Are you now banned from there, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Banned from there.
I think the word
another one to the list.
Banned as fuck, I think is the word you're looking for. Oh, yeah, I went on the City tour and asked them where the European Cup is.
It's the little things that amuse Stephen.
In a United shirt.
Worst ways to spend a Saturday.
They did a little thing. There's the Ray Mercer room. Is it Ray Mercer?
No, Joe Mercer.
Joe Mercer. I got it wrong now, but I got it right then.
Right.
And they're on the tour and they're like, do you know who that is? And I went, it's John Mercer, innit? And he was like, yep, United fan, get it right again. Because he was asking loads of questions. Like,
Busby's assistant in the army.
And he was like, none of the fucking people on it had a clue.
The thing is, like, in 20 years' time, whatever, when you go around a museum, they'll have something to shout about. But back in the day, like, when you were there, there was nothing, right. Was there?
Do you know what was in the glass case?
What, are they going to show pictures?
There was an FA Cup, because I think they'd recently just won the FA Cup.
2011, they won it, didn't they?
There was a pair of Aguero's boots.
Right.
Might have been from that thing that happened.
Let's not go there.
There was a net in there.
A net? Was this like storage now?
No, there was like a draped net.
So let's make the museum the storage room as well.
And then there was like, do you know when 3D models that they have in buildings, which had the stadium that we were in?
Yeah.
Like just filling it up with stuff, really, weren't they?
What else are they going to put in there? Just boxes and fucking, you know what I mean? Some Ribena, a buffet.
Honestly.
There you go. Some chairs.
It was.
Anything else?
Part of it was like they have this warm up room and they're like trying to do a crossbar challenge in this warm up room.
You're making stuff up now.
You got nothing else for us to look at.
You're just like you're lying on.
There is a Micah Richards suite.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is.
Stop telling
lies.
And I'm
like, why is he a Micah Richards suite? He's like one of our best academy players. I'm like,
that you got from Leeds?
Didn't you buy it?
Was it Oldham, I think? Or Leeds?
It was one of them. Leeds, Birmingham, or Oldham. Yeah. Take a pick. It weren't fucking City, was it? And I was like, you're making this a bit easy for me to take the piss out of you.
Come on.
Then they take you into Sheikh Mansour's little fucking room, which is baller, as you would imagine.
Yeah.
And then you go and stand out on the fucking terrace and have a look around it. And then that's where they came up to me and was like, can you stop tweeting?
Really? Were you live tweeting?
Fucking right, I was, yeah.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember this. I think me and you, like, we mates at the time, and I think it was, I remember seeing this, and I was like, what's he up to? And then it was like live blogging on it. It was proper, constant, and you were like just rinsing it. Even to the point, I think I remember you tweeting about getting chucked out. What else are you going to do?
Is it illegal?
No.
Shut the fuck up, man.
Do you know what I mean? Come on.
Don't think I'd do Anfield, though.
No, mate. To be fair, right?
At least I know where to run if I get caught.
It's harder at Anfield because, like, the Scousers have actually got, like, some history.
Yeah. And
whereas City have not.
I bet they'd milk the fuck out of it as well. I bet their tour is three parts and you have to come back on separate days.
Yeah.
City did it in 20 minutes and 15, and that was the crossbar challenge. That is our weight.
Here's a pair of Martin Margotson's gloves. Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Good fun. Right, I think it's fucking time for us to go home, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. When's the phoning back, Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
COVID restrictions have made that impossible.
At the moment.
Impossible.
It will return, though. With a vengeance.
Yeah. Who's a vengeance?
Plays for Leipzig.
Anyway, cheers for tuning in. For those that was asking all the way through, can you get these podcasts on Spotify and stuff? Yes, you can. There is a link in the description, I do believe. I'm just going to check. Listen to our podcast. See the pod follow link? That'll take you where you need to go. Or if you search it on Spotify, on iTunes, Castbox, or any other fucking random bullshit app that you listen to podcasts on, you'll find them on there. Cheers for tuning in.
Hang on a minute. I want to do a plug as well. Can I plug Scotty and Marty?
Oh, am I on it, Emma, this week?
I tell you what, are you going to be staying up for the election?
Oh, no.
Oh, well, that's what we're doing. We're going to be doing a live election special. So if you want to come on that, Joe's going to be coming on it. I've just put a link in the chat. Yeah. Joe's going to come on. Come on, the election special. We're through tonight. Talk about the election. US election coming in. Like, whoa, look. Trump's took Georgia. Oh, no. Biden's got Wisconsin. Be great. No? All right, fine.
I want to talk about 1996.
Right. Oh, yeah, you can come on and do that. But listen, I don't know if you noticed that Scotty, my right-hand man, has been doing lots and lots of work for that there, Beeb. And he keeps messaging me going, do you think what we said last night is a bit out of order? He keeps slagging off his employers. So we've been... Yeah, you'd be right. Don't worry about it. I'm all right. I don't work for him. So yeah, when we get more time, you can come on and talk about 1996 and why it was the greatest year.
Double, Cantona, Tupac, Oasis.
What more do you want?
Just throw them at you.
Boom. Nebworth.
Rollerblading. in a bit.
Sports Social Podcast Network.